Hey guys, Chief here. I'm just editing this episode, and as you may be aware, we've missed 2 weeks uploading. This is due to IRL situations that are now resolved. So, as of this episode going live, normal weekend uploads will continue. Thanks, and enjoy.
Yeah, I'm ready whenever you guys are.
I am sorry that I'm drunk.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Was that good enough?
Yeah, that's going in. Right, let's start.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, once again. We'll just hop right into the recap and get right into it. So last time you guys finished up at the hidden cave that you were in, you found the rings and you killed a really creepy creature and you made your way to Breville. As you guys entered the town had a very depressing feel to it. Upkeep of the buildings was,
dilapidated.
It was very lacking in the upkeep of the buildings. You could see that like vines were growing on the side of houses and maybe there are some holes in the side of walls that haven't been repaired. And you quickly found out that this was probably mainly due to the shipwright who brought in most of the town's profits. His name was Lucius Deepwater, and he and his wife, Patricia, just lost their two kids to some sort of sea creature. So you guys talked to the wife at the Chapel of Mara, and you talked to the drunken father that has been drinking to cope with his loss of his children. And you guys asked him to take you guys to the the location out in the middle of the Niben Bay where it happened. And we jumped down in the water and started searching for any signs of maybe the children's bodies or just anything. Reed found a child shoe. It was quickly, by Lucius, was quickly recognized as his son's shoe. So you did some more searching. Reed kept searching underwater and found a cave entrance. And so as he swam through the tunnel to get into the cave, he came back out, let you guys know what was going on, and then everybody swam down and up into this underwater cave. In the cave, you guys found a giant creature, crab-like creature, that you guys fought and killed fairly easily. And that's where we left off. So you guys are standing around the fire, around this dead creature's body. What do you?
Can I check for gold in the skeletons?
Of course.
I will roll an investigation.
Do you want to milk it again?
I don't want to milk a crab. A crab cannot be milked.
Well, I mean, it's a true, not a crab, but...
Can it be milked?
I don't know.
Why would you ask that question? Like,
can I roll an arcana check for that?
Oh,
nice. Get the natural ones out of the way. you find one gold septum.
I found a septum. Oh, shit.
So, yeah, did we... I don't think we searched the Drew.
No, I don't think you guys did either.
Then I would like to search it.
I would also like to search it with him.
Okay, investigation witcher with advantage.
21.
So with a 21, you find a key. And that's it. Because it is a fucking creature.
Okay.
I wonder where that key goes to. Where does that path go where you guys just came from?
Yeah, we came to a crossing there, but we don't know where the left corridor went for. We can still check that.
Toss me the key. We'll all head down there.
Toss it to you.
So you guys make your way back up where Naysala and Felvindar came down. And you come back to the fork in the road.
I think I see something back here. Is that a dagger lying on the table here?
Yes. Felvindar, you see a dagger and a dusty bowl that looks like it has some like mold growing out of it because it's never been washed.
I would like to pick up the dagger and look at it.
Give me a... I'd say investigation.
21.
With a 21, you can tell that this is... The dagger is a standard iron dagger. It's pretty rusted. The blade doesn't look like it's sharp.
I see.
There's nothing really special about it.
I'll take it with me anyway. Okay. Just wanted to check if it's some special one.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Nesala, let's go.
Okay. That wasn't Nesala's voice, I'm sorry.
Away!
What's that voice?
I don't know. Maybe somebody else's voice. Who knows?
Left or right?
I mean, right. That's okay. The only way we haven't checked yet.
As you get closer, you see two scared children behind a gate. One a young boy and one a young girl. And the young boy is holding a stick and says, get back, I'll hurt you. And he pushes his young sister behind him.
Children, I believe we know your father. He sent us here to help, to see what was going on, to see if we can help find you. Are you the Deep Waters?
As you say this, the boy starts to lower the stick in his hand, and he says, yes, what about the monster? Is he gone?
Yes, we dealt with the monster. The monster is no more. We're here to take you guys home.
You can see a look of relief come over the young boy, and he turns to his sister and he says, I think we're going home, little sis. No need to cry. And she doesn't say anything, but she looks up at him and doesn't really smile. You guys can kind of tell she's been a little traumatized by this whole experience.
Can you guys swim?
Yes. My sister is not too good at it, but I most certainly can.
How long can you hold your breath?
Fairly long. But again, okay. My sister, on the other hand, she hasn't spoken since we've been down here, so I don't know.
Have you been down here all alone? Because there are four beds in your chamber here.
There was another one, older than us, but he was taken by the monster, and we haven't seen him since.
Who's wearing the secret rings right now?
I'm wearing it.
Me too.
Reed's wearing it.
So Reed, Nesala, so everyone's wearing it, yeah?
Yes, yeah. I think so.
So Gris says, using the rings,
I wonder what was in that pot around that fire. Let's get these kids home.
Yeah, open it with the key I gave you.
Yep, so Gris unlocks the door, or tries the key in the door. I'm assuming it opens, correct?
Yes, you'd presume right. The lock unlocks, and you can open up the door.
Okay, so we open the door. Gris turns to Reed and says, Reed, can you take the girl? And I'll...
Fine.
I'll help the boy as we go, and we'll go back to the surface. He says she's not a strong swimmer, so you're the strongest swimmer. You're the best hope to get her out of here quick. The boy says he can hold his breath a little bit longer, so we'll take him, you take the girl, and we'll head up to the surface, back to the boat.
Right.
All right, so you guys gather the children. You get back to the entrance. So this is kind of how I see it. The girl will be on Reed's back, and the young boy, he's confident that he can make it to the surface. He is, you know, he lives on the water his whole life, so he's a good swimmer. You guys get back up to the surface of the water with the children, and Lucius Deepwater is sitting there patiently waiting for you guys. As he sees his children, he stands up very slowly. You guys make your way back to the boat and get the kids onto the boat fairly easy as yourselves. Lucius is just standing there, and then all of the sudden his eyes fill up with tears, and he just lets loose and drops down to his knees. The kids are crying, he's crying, embracing them, hugging them tighter than he has ever hugged them before. You guys get back to the docks, and the whole time Lucius has this smile that has come across his face. He thought he lost his children. You guys get back to the docks, you unload, and the first thing Lucius says is, "We have to go see your mother, kids." He looks at you guys and can't thank you enough, and he asks, "Is there anything I can do for you? If you ever need a ship repaired, built, anything, please, please allow me." And he hands you, he like walks into his like main work area and then comes back out and has a coin purse that contains 200 gold septums, and he says, "Here, please, please take this." And he hands it out with both hands.
Grist wants to say with through the rings to his companions, "I don't think we should take the coin."
"But it's coin!"
"Even so, this was
such a... fair to take it.
I mean, if you guys want to take it, you guys split it between you. I will have no part in this. I do not want to be paid for the deed we've just done."
"Then it's 100 septums for Reed and me."
"Yep. I go and take the purse."
"Same."
He says, "Thank you. Thank you." And he puts, like, he picks up his daughter and cradles her in his arms. And you can see that she now has a sigh of relief, still trembling a little bit, just coping with the fact that everything that happens, but a smile, and feels a little relief to be back in her father's arms. And they start walking off towards the direction of the chapel.
"Why don't we ask Lucius for a boat that we can borrow and sail down to Leowyn?"
"I had the same idea, yeah.
I think
it would be way quicker than to take the road."
"That's what I'm thinking. I mean, we may miss out."
"I'm not rowing."
"No, no, no. We won't be rowing. We'll ask Lucius if he can find us a shipwright that can, not a shipwright, a captain that can sail us down to Leowyn. I mean, all we're doing is we're going to Leowyn. We don't need to come back right away, so."
"But I'm not rowing."
"What do we do for the rest of the day? Like, so obviously, what time is it? It's early morning, right? It's like 10, 11 now, is it, in the morning, around that?"
Yeah, it's probably closer to noon. The sun is, you could tell if you looked up, is pretty, like, right above you. So it's closer to noon."
"Okay, well, I think we've decided on, if possible, to rent or procure a boat from the Deepwater shipwright and sail down to Leowyn."
Yeah, you just have to go up and ask him.
I mean, he's spending time with his kids right now and obviously with his wife. So I say we go. I mean, do you guys want to do anything special? Like,
Are there any shops in Braville here or...
Due to the town's poorness, there is just a common trader, and he will have very little goods. Yet, you still could go talk to him and see. Like, he'll have a few of some things.
Okay, Gris would like to go to store. Just sideballing here. If I remember, like, correctly, Braville has a mages, like, guild, right?
Yes, you'd be correct, but...
Oh my god, again, I'm so amazed I remembered that.
Due to the state of the town, the only shop that is open is the common trader. He's the only one that could stay open.
Yeah, you need to keep in mind that this is a bit of a different canon.
Yes.
So yeah. His canon, Braville, may be in a different state than in the
Bethesda
canon, you know?
That was just what I remembered. That was literally off the cuff.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I'm so amazed at that.
So, yeah, there would be. I mean, maybe if... Hey, who knows? You guys just did something really awesome. Maybe if you come back in a couple sessions of this town, maybe there will be a town like Mage and stuff now. But as of right now, the only thing that's open is a common trader due to the state of the town. And the only way he stays open is because of what he sells. Small things like tools here and there and you know, just like clothing, stuff like that. Just your common goods. So that's going to be the only person you could buy anything from in this town.
As a member of the Mages Guild, would I know in which cities in Cyrodiil there are residents of the Mages Guild?
Yes, you would.
Where? Not in Braville, I assume?
There are none in Breville, and I'll let you know that, like, once you get into towns and stuff like that as we go.
I see.
So Gris would like to go to the common store and would like to see if he can purchase some more, like, food items.
Okay. You guys start walking back, and the market, or the common trader, is actually not even, he doesn't even have a building, but yet two carts that are set up in the center of town and like a little table. And then in front of the table, there is a nice rug laid out with some goods on the carts. The carts have been set up almost as shelves, and you can see that there is assorted food items that sit on the table that is in the middle of the carts. You guys see a Breton. He's got brownish, reddish hair. You can tell he's probably around his somewhere in his 40s. And that's what you see. You walk up to him, and he greets you. Well, good day, travelers.
Good day,
are
sir.
Are you looking for some goods?
Yes. We have been on the road for a few days. Just wondering if we can grab some food off you for our travels.
Yes, of course. Somebody just came by and got a fairly big assortment of my foods, but this is what I have left. And on the table, you see just, you know, assorted. He's got a few, like, dry meats, some vegetables, apples, oranges, stuff like that.
Gris would pick up an apple, and he would say, how much for couple of bits of meat and some apples?
Well, for everything you have there, which would equate to about 5 rations, that'd be 10 septums.
Yep, here you go, sir. Let's say 4 apples and 2 bits of meat.
Okay, you can, I mean, if you want to keep track of exactly what kind of food you have, you can, or you could just say 5 rations, but that's up to you.
I've added 5 rations, but okay. I took them for specific reasons.
Okay,
I would not
that's
say
fine.
An apple isn't a ration by itself, but you're fine.
So he says, well, thank you for your purchase. And looks to the rest of you. He's like, can I interest any of your companions in some common goods? And Nasala kind of like shakes her hand and puts her hand up. She's like, no, I'm okay. Thank you, though.
Do you have some rope?
I do. And he points at the cart on the left, on the very edge, like where it kind of comes up, where you'd like lean your back against if you were sitting in the cart. You can see there is a rope hanging down, like looped up in a circle. And he says, yes, it's a 30 foot of hemp rope. It's going to be 15 septums for that.
Damn it. Well, sure. Here.
All right, and he gestures for you to go grab the rope. Thank you for your purchase. Is there anything else I could offer you?
Nope, I think that's
not for me. Thank you.
Be safe on your adventures. And he kind of goes back to what he's doing.
So, are you guys heading back to the inn for a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need something to drink.
Okay, I'll meet you there in a little while. I'm just gonna go take a walk, clear my thoughts for a while.
I think I'm going to head over to the chapel if we're going to be here for a couple more hours.
Sure.
Okay, so all right. How we have it is, I believe, Gris is going for a little walk around town. Nasal is heading to the chapel. And Vilvendar and Reed are heading to the inn/tavern to go get a little bit sourced.
Yes. So Felvendar and Reed, we'll just kind of start with you. You guys walk back to the inn and you enter in. There's some people sitting around having lunch and some people are drinking. And
I don't want to get drunk, so just for some food and drink to spend some time. I don't know about Reed.
Hey, barkeep, I'm going to need 4 bottles of your strongest alcohol.
4 bottles? Well, you have the gold for that?
Well, how much?
It's going to be 50 septums for all 4, for my strongest stuff.
You know, I can take it down to 40.
Sorry. Gonna have to be a little more persuasive and roll me a persuasion check.
Oh my god.
That's a 19!
Oh, that's decent.
And he kind of crosses his arms and says, 45.
42.
And he spits in his hand and sticks it out. You got your... Do you shake his hand?
Yes.
Okay. he goes back behind the bar and pulls out these four bottles and sets them down. They look fairly dusty because not many people can buy the top shelf stuff, and pushes them over to you and says, enjoy.
When he returns back to the table, I would like to ask him, what have you got there? Some Argonian blood wine or what?
I have no idea. I just asked for the strongest, and this was the strongest, apparently.
Well, I've heard that Argonian drinks are supposed to be very, very strong.
That's true. Since we don't usually get that drunk out of it.
I'm sure it can take quite a bit.
Yes, but this is more for the road, not for today.
Ah, I see. I just thought you are going to kill those four bottles.
No, that would be suicide. Well,
even for you.
I would probably not be able to walk after that, so.
Right, and I'm not carrying you out of here.
That's true.
So you guys sit around the table and do your thing, eat some food, eat lunch, whatever you do. We'll head over to Gris. You said you were going to go for a walk. Describe to us what you're doing, what you're thinking, what's happening.
Gris is just literally milling around town, just taking in obviously the sights. It's a little bit run down kind of area. He's not sad for the people. He's more like, doesn't understand why it would get to this state. He's just trying to play it in his mind, like how such a big town with such a big industry off like the ships and such, how it gets to a certain point in the last, how long was the kids missing for? It's like 4 or 5 days they were missing, something like that. So obviously this was before the kids were missing. There was a problem going on in the town to cause such misery kind of stuff because everyone's like so down about it. So he takes a walk around. Nothing really special going on in town. Obviously, everything's closed down. Everything's boarded up. People are going about their business, doing their daily stuff, obviously. And he finds himself by the waterfront and he takes his armor off, lays down his shield and his sword, and literally just sits down there, just staring out at the water, thinking back that when he was a kid, how he missed his dad, and how having someone there, obviously your parents that care for you. So his parents, the kid's parents, they basically had lost hope that their kids were still alive, right, kind of thing. Once they were found, he obviously, something inside of him clicked and was just like, yeah, no, he sort of misses his dad and his parents a little bit because he hasn't prayed to RK in so long. So he literally sits there in his own thoughts and prays to RK, basically, while looking out upon the bay. He prays on the edge of the bay.
Are you kneeling, standing, sitting? Did you say you were sitting, I think?
He's not really sitting. He's like Japanese kneeling kind of thing.
Scout, like squatting. He's like squatting down.
Sort of. Not like Russian squatting.
Like you're sitting on your knees?
So yeah, he's sitting like that.
So as you're sitting on your knees, you feel the sunlight warm the front of your body. After a minute, you feel a breeze and something brushes up against your leg. You can feel something like rolled into your left leg. You look down and it's a newspaper. You pick it up and you start reading it. And it goes into explaining how a new imperial trading port was built in Anvil, a fairly large one. And there is supposedly a shipwright there that can repair and build ships faster than anybody in Tamriel due to some magical items that he possesses. As you read more and more, it starts to talk a little bit about Breville and how it used to be one of the main places to get your ships repaired due to its location. And you start to think and think more and more about it, and you kind of come to and realize that the new Imperial trading hub that was built in Anvil is probably a good reason why this town is not making ends meet anymore. It's because of this brand new huge hub where ships can come in out from the sea and get repairs before going in farther land.
Chris is thinking to himself how it managed, like, obviously how it got into the state. He understands how it did, but he is a Nord, so obviously his parents were Nords. He's a Nord. And there's fighting going on between Imperials and Nords. He doesn't really like the Nord, like Imperials, but he's not like against them kind of thing. He's not like, they're not hated. He just doesn't really like their ethics kind of going on.
You don't have the same beliefs as they do, yes.
Yeah, being that it's back in Anvil, he's contemplating to himself that obviously Anvil is the reason why this place is so run down, but Anvil is also on his mind regarding his parents. He's got it in his mind that after he's finished the business in Leowyn, he would like to head back to Anvil to visit his parents' grave and see this magical shipwright.
All right, so we will, after all of that, we will kind of go over to Naesala for a quick minute. She starts to walk up to the Chapel of Mara. The doors are open and you can hear laughter coming from the inside, and she walks in and she sees the scene of Lucius Deepwater and the children running to their mother, and she kind of sits at the very furthest back of, like, the first bench you could sit at as you walk into the door. So it's at the very back of the chapel, the farthest away from the statue of Mara. And she sits there with a smile from ear to ear, and she sees these kids running to her mother, and her mother is just, their mother is bawling because she knew that they were alive, but did still fear that the kids were dead. The father's standing, smiling, probably about 5 feet away, and all of a sudden, Patricia looks up at her husband and runs to him and hugs them, and then it's just a kind of a group hug. The kids come over and are like hugging onto the legs of the parents, and they're all kind of bawling, and she's just smiling, taking it all in. And then for a brief second, tears start to form in her eyes, and a single tear falls down her cheek, and as she remembers her brothers and wishing that she could have met her mother. She sits there for a little longer. Patricia sees her. They make eye contact. Naesala gives her a small nod, gets up, and walks out. What do you guys want to do? That is all that was going to happen at the chapel, so.
Chris is going to head back to the tavern. Well, Chris is heading back to the tavern anyway, Reed.
I don't know what Phil and I will do, but after Reed has gotten a little bit to eat and stuff like that, he'll probably head out. So, I'm gonna see if I can find Chris.
Yeah, I also think we've sit here long enough.
Yes.
Let's see where everyone is.
Yes. You guys leave the tavern and you just happen to all meet up at the same time. It's about 1:30 at this point. What would you guys like to do? You can mess around in town a little longer. You could go try to ask the shipwright, Lucius, about a boat.
What I was about to ask. Whereabouts was Lucius? Did you see him in the chapel?
Yes, I did. They were all just kind of rejoicing.
Okay, I'm wondering if we can all just stop by there real quick. Have a little wave, have a little chat, and maybe ask him if he can get us a boat and a captain that can take us down to Leowyn.
You guys head over to the chapel, and at this point, Lucius is outside, and he is, you see him smoking on like a corncob pipe with, he's just kind of looking up into the sky with a smile on his face. He notices you guys approaching, and he says, "Ah, my friends, thank you so much once again for saving my children."
"It's no big deal, my dude. I've actually come to ask a little favor of you, if possible."
"Yes, anything."
"By any chance, would you happen to have a boat that we could perhaps rent for a trip to Leowyn, and maybe a captain?"
And he takes a puff off his pipe and kind of chews on the tip of it. "Well, I can tell you for certainly the captain, there are no captains here.
That's a bit sad.
You guys can have the boat that we all took out to the middle of the bay. I can always make a new one."
"Cost money, though."
"No." And he like puts his hands up. He's like, "I will not take any of your money. I am saying you guys can have it."
"I'm not rowing, though. Chris, I'm looking at you."
"Okay, we'll take the boat off your hands. Is it on dock right now so we can leave right now?"
"It's right where we left it as we got back into the docks."
"Okay, then, yeah. You enjoy your children?" That sounded bad.
"What?"
I'm just going to cut that one out. That's just
I was
going to
say...
That's really bad to say something like that. Just, you enjoy your... Who said something like that?
Apparently Chris.
I think you just... He just did.
Apparently so.
Well, you enjoy your family, and we'll head out now.
So you guys head down to the docks as...
Enjoy your children.
I know, right? Just don't.
The boat is tied up exactly where it was left as you guys got back into the town of Breville from Lanaibin Bay. I am going to make you guys roll to see how well this goes.
I am not rowing.
Chris
will steer the boat.
Yeah, it's still a ship. We'll see how well you guys can catch the wind with the sail.
Would that be a survival check? Because we're in nature?
I'll
take survival check.
Yes.
Well, survival or nature is...
No, it wouldn't be nature. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just say survival checks. Give me a survival check to see if you can catch some wind to get you guys on your way.
22.
You almost seem like you know exactly what to do, and you catch the wind just perfectly. There's a nice, good breeze that would take you down to Leowyn, and you guys set sail.
Avast, land lovers!
Oh my god. Could you please never do that again?
Arr! Yeah.
You guys are on the boat, and it takes about an hour. Definitely, you are making good time. You come around a little bit of a bend. The river bends up into another smaller bay, and you see the town of Leowyn. As you approach, there is a little sandy beach that sits outside of Leowyn, or there are some docks that you could go dock your boat.
I say we dock at the beach.
I can't guarantee where I'm going to steer this thing, but I'm going to aim for the beach.
Yeah, I don't want to pay taxes.
We can also tie it at the port.
But I don't want to pay taxes.
Yeah, the beach it is then.
Thank you.
So with the 22, you it's a sandy beach. You go, and the boat hits the land, and it you get it pretty good up on the sand, but you will need to tie it up just in case if a storm comes in or something, it doesn't blow away.
Then I would like to tie it up to something.
All right, give me... There's a bunch of rocks on this beach and stuff, so you can, plenty of things to tie it to. You find a nice rock that you think will hold it steady, and give me a sleight of hand check to see how good your knot is.
Someone else want to tie the knot?
I mean, sleight of hand should be Reed's proficiency.
I can push out a sleight of hand.
Guys, I'm not good at tying knots.
I'll tie a knot. That's an 18.
You are you tie a solid knot, and you are pretty confident that no winds can take this boat away now.
Just out of curiosity, yep, that wouldn't have gone well. Just that was a 10. That would not have gone well.
It would have been fine. If somebody was helping you with advantage, that would still be pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right, so Leowyn. Leowyn is a large town that is completely walled. You guys are walking up to the front gate, the main front gate, and just like any other settlement would, there are some guards standing there, and as you approach, they stop you and say, "Halt, travelers, what is your business in Leowyn?"
Passing by.
He's gonna look at you, and he's like, "You're not with the Thieves Guild, are you, Argonian?"
"No, why would I be that? I'm with no guild."
He looks at the rest of you. "Keep him out of trouble." And he steps back and lets you guys through.
"I'm with the Mage's Guild. Is there a residence of them here in Leowyn?"
"Yes, you would know. It's not a very big... They have a building here, but it's one of the smaller settlements. It's actually... So you guys walk past the guards into the main town, and there's three main buildings off to the left of you guys, so the north part of the town, and the building in the middle is actually the Mage's Guild. There is a large chapel adjacent from the three buildings on the north end of the town where you guys are walking. As you're walking through the city, it's pretty lively. You guys, you know, people are going about their day, and what do you?"
"So I don't think we should ask random people in the street. Maybe find a guard or something to ask."
"So, we're looking for a hunter, right? What did I say? The snow falls early this year. Something about a coat? Get new coats or something?"
"Yeah, the huntsman. Ask for new coats or something like that."
"Yeah, so... how do we go about finding the huntsman?" "I've got it."
"Just ask for the huntsman."
"So the huntsman hunts for food. So... let's go to a place that serves food and then ask them where they got their food from. And then they say
store.
The huntsman." "Huh?"
"General
General
Yeah, you could also ask the Mage Guild."
"Yeah, I could also ask some of my colleagues there."
"Oh, yeah. Sorry about that."
"And we are right here, so...
I mean, yeah, it's right ahead."
"And you go ahead and ask.
Should I come with you?"
"If you don't plan on stealing any... magical devices,
then.
That is."
"Never mind then."
"Yeah, that's what I thought. So, no, I don't think so."
"Is there a chapel in there?"
Yes, it's actually right next to you guys.
"Did you not hear him?" "Even me, as a drunk..."
"Yeah, I was just about to say, the drunk one remembers that." No, but yes, it is the first step. It is not a chapel that's dedicated to any certain god. But
that's what I was going to ask. I knew it was a chapel, but I didn't know if it was to any specific god.
Okay, so what are you guys doing?
So Reed and Philvidar heading to the Mage's Guild.
"No, I don't have to.
Only
Philvidar. I'm not allowed in there."
"All right.
Because he's a kleptomaniac."
"No."
We will start with that then. As you approach, it's a very nice building, as you would expect for the Mage's Guild. Even being small, you push open the door and there is four mages. There are two novice mages sitting to your left at a table studying some books. The walls are lined with books on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side, there are some robes and staffs, robes hanging up on like hangers up against the wall, and then some staffs that are in like a rack. And then you see a master mage. He's an old high elf. He's got long white hair and a pointy hat. He comes up to you and says, "Ah, good day, my good sir. How can I help you?"
"Hello, kinsman. I am from the Mage's Guild of the Somerset Isles, and I would like to show him my papers of identification for that."
He smiles and says, "Ah, I haven't seen a mage from the Somerset Isles in so long. Welcome, welcome." And he, like, is very embracing to you. He's glad to see you.
"Yeah, there's not many of us coming here to Cyrodiil. I'm here about to visit some of my childhood friends, that is, and we are currently looking for a hunter that is supposed to work here in Leyawind. Would you know anything about him?
Ah, the huntsman, yes. Stories be told, we kick a few back at the tavern from time to time, but not as late. You see, he's on a hunting trip right now, but it seems that he may have gone missing. The rumors of the town have said.
Oh, yes?
Yes, apparently something about a patrol found some clothes or something along the road that leads to the Black Woods, but yeah, just rumors. I don't try to pay attention to rumors too much. Town folk like to talk.
Yeah, that is true, but does anybody know where he went missing?
You could ask the head guard of the town. Nasty fellow, though. He might brush you guys off fairly quickly. He seems to not be very interested in finding him, so... But he would know. He would know more than anyone.
So he is not very popular here in Leyawind?
You could say his methods are a little extreme for punishments. People are very wary of him.
See. All right, thank you. That already helps me a lot. And secondly, Master, might I have a look at your stock here?
Of course. And he puts like one hand on his chest and gestures with the other one and turns slightly to the wall that has a few staves and robes. There are also a few like spellbooks.
Spell scrolls or spellbooks?
Yeah, there's a few scrolls and a few books as well. Also a couple soul gems that have slight glows to them that would indicate that they are full.
Right. Two questions. How much for like a spellbook?
You see, he gestures to the four books that are laying out. There is a red one, a yellow one, a blue one, and a green one. He points to the red one and he says, "This is the spell of the Flame Cloak." He gestures to yellow one. He says,
"Yes,
this is the spell of Iron Flesh. Are you familiar with that spell?"
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know it. I don't have it, but yeah, I know what it is.
Very good. He gestures to the blue one and says, "This is the spell of Conjure Frost Astronaut."
Hmm.
And then lastly, the purple one, he says, and this is the spell of telekinesis.
Telekinesis. So how much for each?
He says, they are 50 gold septims apiece.
Right. Yeah, so
I think all of these spells are at depth, so you could buy them, learn them, but you wouldn't be able to use them yet.
Yeah.
Yes, they are all at depth spells.
At what level do I get access to these again? Was it on the next level or?
What are you right now? You're at apprentice level?
I mean, yeah, I'm level 3.
Yes.
Novice, apprentice.
You will be able to start casting adapt spells at level 4. Oh my god, I totally fucking forgot to do this, but you guys did level up after that last
side. I was going to ask that since we have cleared now 2 caves.
We will finish up our interaction right here, and then we'll take a small break, and we'll level you guys up to level 4.
Oh yeah, that's good, yeah.
Hey everybody, it's your DM. Just wanted to hit you guys with some mid-game announcements. Our first ever, actually. I'd like to say thank you everybody for listening up to this point. As we progress farther into the story of EDDS and Naesala and having her train to find her lost brothers, I decided to start writing something else. Something that will take place after EDDS. It's not exactly Elder Scrolls lore. It's something different. I'm not going to tell you what, because it's kind of a surprise. I can tell you this, though. I'm very excited. And so are the players. They are stoked about it. I'm stoked about it. I'm putting a lot more work into this than EDDS. And not to say that I haven't put a lot of work into EDDS, because I have. But EDDS was my first project ever as a DM and a homebrew campaign. And this is going to be another homebrew campaign, but it's all me. It's all me, baby. It's the only lore that I've taken from a video game is the creatures. But everything else is all me. And I cannot wait to share it with you all. I'm super excited. I can't even talk straight. That's how excited I am. So I hope everybody has been enjoying EDDS, and it's going to continue. You know, we are not even halfway. I'd say we're getting close to halfway in the storyline. And yeah, that's really all I have. And I wanted to also let you guys know about the little project I have in the works. So this podcast isn't going anywhere. I hope you guys all have a great rest of your day and enjoy the rest of the episode. So let's get right back to it. Thank you everybody for listening. Peace. I love you all.
So these are our spell books, if you are interested in any of them. They are all adapt level spells. I will let you know that. I'm sure you already know.
Yeah. Can I have another read on the spells again to see what exactly they do? I think Iron Flash was... Stone Flash.
So I will go through them from the top. Flame Cloak. You summon a cloak of flames that encircles your body. If any creature, whether they're trying to harm you or not harm you, come in a 5-foot radius of you, they will take damage. The next one, I believe, was Conjure a Frost Atronaut. That, as I am sure you are aware of, you will have to concentrate. Also, use a hand gesture and a casting word to perform this summoning.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have... don't really have control of it, but it will not hurt any of your friends.
Right. Just like the Flame Atronaut does.
Yes, exactly the way the same. It works exactly the same as that spell. Now, on to Iron Flesh. Iron Flesh is a spell that hardens your body and also summons a almost like a materialized armor around your body, and it improves your armor. You will not need concentration but a hand gesture and a casting word to cast this spell. The last one, Telekinesis, is kind of, well, my personal favorite, and he does like a hand gesture and the book starts to levitate. I have a lot of fun with this. This is Telekinesis. You use your mind to make certain items float. Now, I will tell you, first learning this spell, you can only make items float that I would say that you could pick up.
Mm-hmm. Mostly utility, so, I think, if I remember correctly, but you could also use it to throw like rocks at your enemies.
Yes. So, depending on your spell or how familiar you are with this spell, you will first be able to make anything that you can personally pick up move around and levitate, you know, using your mind. Mm-hmm. You can move this item up to 30 feet at first, but that does go up as you get better at the spell. You typically, if you cast a spell, you will need to be concentrating. There is a casting word and a hand gesture that requires you to cast a spell.
All right. So yeah, you set 50 septums for one each of book. These spell book for each book.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, 50 a piece.
Then I would like to buy Iron Flesh, Flame Cloak, and Telekinesis, please, for 150 gold pieces. Right.
Ah, very good. Yes, and he actually doesn't touch the book, but uses his telekinesis to stack them properly, and even ties the bow like of some string so they're tied together for you. And he sets it back down where they were sitting, and it's nicely tied with a bow, and they're all stacked on top of each other, ready for you to go. And then he kind of just gestures his hand out as like, all right, I need my payment.
Oh. I hand it to him.
Is there anything else I can interest you in? A staff? Maybe a cloak? Soldiers?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm mostly out of my funds now, but you helped me a lot, Master. Thank you.
Very good. Very good.
It is my pleasure. Please come back anytime. You are always welcome.
Thank you. And I like walk out of it again. Just one question. How do you handle gameplay-wise soul gems?
So
what do they make mechanically, you know?
Mechanically, their main purpose is to recharge magical weapons, right?
So like
my dagger.
Yes,
like your dagger.
Or a staff. I would say you would have to use it for a staff. And then of course you can, once you get to the level, if you want the spell Soul Trap, which actually I think is a DAPT level spell. If you ever use it, if you have empty ones, I have it worked out where you just cast it on somebody and they have to make a saving throw, a constitution saving throw. And if they fail it, the soul gem is filled. If they succeed it, once they die, it is not filled.
Yeah.
It also depends on what creature it is, because humans only black soul gems.
Yes. But I only think that makes it... Well... Yeah, if you take, like, Azura's Star, for example, I don't know if it makes a difference in your campaign if you take a human soul or that one of an animal. I mean, that's up for DM's choice.
Yeah, but that's pretty much how the mechanics work of soul gems.
I see. And what, just out of curiosity, what would a staff have costed?
Expensive.
Yeah, I thought so.
Expensive. Staffs are very expensive. Because you don't have to use spell slots to use it. It's just a weapon that it just casts. There is no, literally the only thing you keep up with it is like the soul gem aspect of it. So you could get a staff of fireball and just be shooting fireballs all anybody could, really, you know.
Yeah.
Granted, people that aren't mages, I would give them disadvantage for like attack rolls and stuff because they aren't magic like that. But yeah, that's. Staffs are very expensive.
I'm a mage. I can cast spells.
Very rare. Like they're rare to find as well.
Yeah, nice. So I then can read the spells, add them, and use them from now on, right?
Yeah, so we will... So you walk back out, and we will call that a session for this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
We'll get you guys leveled up for the next session and go from there. So thank you everybody for listening. And that is us done for this episode.
Nice session.